It's all connected.
With Grimnir and Cirque.
Well, I messed that up. I got started in the middle of the intro there, but that's all right. It is all connected. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome, folks. This is episode 31 of the It's All Connected show here on this day, 2021-02-22. And the program's title today is, What Difference Does Outrage Make? Are you outraged?
I outraged.
And I am here today with my lovely co-host, Miss Circolo.
Ooh.
And how are you today, Miss Circolo?
I'm good. We had a nice spring day.
Cool.
Warm weather and sunshine. And
you're like 8 hours ahead of me, right? So it's like 8 o'clock at night there?
It is exactly 8 o'clock.
Well, not exactly.
Well, no, not exactly. Almost. Almost exactly.
Okay.
Well, that's because you're late.
I know, I'm late. I'm late and I messed up on the intro.
Yeah. So how is your day so far?
Oh, my day's been busy as hell. I've been working on various things for the website, you know. Lots of graphic manipulations and such. And graphic, very graphic. So, getting set.
And who are you manipulating again?
Graphics.
Oh, you're manipulating graphics.
Not the guy named Graphics that used to come around here. No.
Oh.
No, I would not manipulate him. He was too weird. Anyway. But no, graphics for different shows. I was working on stuff for Gary L's show. Have you heard his show?
I did. Some of it. It's very late.
Okay, well, there's podcasts.
Yeah, you know.
There's podcasts. And there's also...
I do podcasts.
And there's also BitShooters.
Oh, yeah. I don't really do BitChute.
Well...
I don't know. It's bad streaming. It drops up. Sorry.
Oh, I haven't had that problem. Anyway, they're getting better because they've been getting money in to boost up. So I really like BitChute.
I like the idea of BitChute.
For me, a lot of times, the problem is the uploading, when it comes to the uploading. Because I upload something and it says it's processing. Then I wait a couple hours and nothing happens. So I say, all right, well, I don't know, maybe it got caught somewhere, and I re-upload. And then that one sits there, and then I got to re-upload again. And eventually, they process it through. And the one that, like, when they finally process it, it's really fast. Instead of if you sit there and wait for hours and hours and they don't process it, they're never going to get to it. So for an uploader, it's a little different than a viewer. But
it's challenging.
It is challenging. But they don't censor. They don't, they're not YouTube. And they're not all after your ass for saying the wrong thing. Oh, this guy said something bad about vaccines or bad about some stupid election or whatever.
I was just watching a documentary about that Susan lady who's the CEO of YouTube.
I have no idea.
No, she comes from advertisement.
Okay. Well,
it's all those restrictions. It's because of commercializing.
All right.
Yeah.
No, I like YouTube for a lot of purposes, but if you're going to say anything they consider or deem controversial, it's not so great over there.
No, because it's all geared for commercialized.
Yeah.
It's all geared for advertisers. So whatever could offend any sort of advertiser is what they don't want.
Yeah, see, but I don't monetize over there. And that's basically, they look at it from that monetization point of view. And that's where a lot of people over there get upset and get angered and have their hackles, what is that saying?
Hackles?
Yeah, their hackles get raised.
Oh, they get outraged.
They get outraged. And,
they get outraged.
And so, you know, and I've had a few videos over there that have been taken down. I've been banned over there on the, you know, just for a short time. Apparently that's like they're slapping your hand, you know. Ooh, you bad guy. You said something we didn't like. So we're going to stop you from uploading, even though the video that they banned was like 2 years old. which I don't even know how they go back and find these two-year-old videos. I mean, if you didn't ban it 2 years ago, why ban it now?
They just run their algorithms through their entire
catalog.
Though, right?
Yeah. I don't get outraged over that, but a lot of people do, and especially those that monetize. You know, that's their income. That's what they, you know, that's how they generate money. And
well, it's because YouTube are their bosses, though, right?
And they in that way, yeah, very, sure. And they
happen to have very mood swingy bosses.
And the thing is, you know, they'll tell you stuff over there like, you violated our community standards. But they don't tell you how you did it or whatever it is that you said that violated their community standards. Same with like Twitter, and I guess also Facebook, but I don't use Facebook, so I don't know how that you know. But all of those ones, and they'll kick your ass out because you said Trump's not a bad guy, even though he was a horrible guy. Or is a horrible guy. You say, this election was rigged. Yeah, well, all elections are rigged, and they always have been. So, whatever, man. They just made it more obvious this time that that's what they were doing. So, But I, you know, those are the kind of things that people get outraged over. And, you know, you can go over onto, like, Twitter anytime if you're a Twitterer, which I know.
See, I think that if people started tuning out all that noise, right?
Uh-huh.
All the reactions to what life and what is going on, right? Then more and more people would start understanding what is going on. And not just understanding how others are reacting to what is going on.
Okay.
Most of the news today and most of everything is news about how somebody reacted to what's going on.
Well, no, and it's, you know, since they gear it to try and get you to be outraged about a certain thing.
Yeah,
because you know that's what gets them people's eyeballs looking at them. If you can be mad about something, you're gonna look back at this, you're gonna reference this, you're gonna, make a big thing about this here. And if you disagree with one of those clap outlets, then that's when they're gonna bounce you, and you're gonna get more outraged. I saw a thing the other day. Some people posted up a whole deal about censorship on the YouTube. And what did they do?
They censored it.
They censored it.
Of course.
Yeah.
But it's all geared, though, right? It's all geared for keeping people in that noise.
Well, tell me this. What causes you outrage?
I would say injustice, right? But that's just such a emotional and broad term,
right?
Because that is what most anger comes from, is something being unjust to me or to somebody else, or if
right.
I feel something
yeah.
isn't fair or right.
And so when was the last time you got so fired up about something that you saw that outraged you to such a degree that you made a big noise about it?
I think we were all here when that happened last, weren't we? Oh, was that 3 weeks ago?
What was that?
Because when Rob turned into an idiot.
Oh, well, he just was having fun, but it was misunderstood. It was
We're
misunderstood.
not going to agree on that
That
one,
was
but okay, when Rob was having fun,
purely a misunderstanding.
Well, I got outraged, though,
But
didn't
you
I?
did get outraged, that's right. And
Yeah.
you rage quit.
I did. I'm still not going to be. No, well, I also learned something from it, though.
Which was?
That a whole part, there's a lot of shit I don't want to be part of.
Okay.
And I learned that I can be somewhere and not be part of it. And just leave if I'm not, if it's not what I want to be part of.
Sure. Yeah.
But that made me, that was an example of me being outraged, because
Okay.
I do tend to have an outrageous kind of person.
But that was a personal thing. That's
No,
not
I think
like.
I no, I think I, that was no, not really.
But it no, I it
That was
was.
to me what I saw was a dick move. So I reacted to a dick move.
Okay. All right.
It's a good thing because I tend to get outraged by dick moves on trains too.
Okay. But isn't pretty much everything on the train a dick move?
No.
No?
As long as the official train personnel is not around, then I'm good. I'm usually outraged by official personnel.
Okay, so taking back to the question of the show name, what difference does outrage make? What difference
None, none.
did it make a difference that you got outraged?
It did not make a difference to
Yeah.
the world. No, it did not. And so does outrage never do, right?
It
But
generally
it made a
no.
difference to me. It made a difference to me because it forced me to step up and examine something that clearly triggered me and relate to that.
Right.
And from that, I changed something. I changed something within me, though. I found another level of I don't give a fuck.
And that's a good level to
Yeah. I've
have.
always thought that that was always the whole meaning of, well, to me at least, one of the meanings of hanging out on RLM was to learn the whole I don't give a fuck attitude.
Okay.
I think I'm just learning it in a different way because to me, I don't give a fuck doesn't mean I don't give a fuck about other people. It means if I don't give a fuck about how this is, if I don't like, if I don't appreciate, if I'm not having a good time, then I don't give a fuck enough to not just let it go.
Okay, well, so would you classify yourself as a nihilist?
No, I wouldn't. I
Okay.
would want to be. I'm an aspiring nihilist.
All right.
But
Well,
I have like I have this devilish idealism in me. I just can't let it fucking go.
okay, 'cause I definitely consider myself to be a nihilist.
Yes.
Pretty much apathetic towards most things. Because as it doesn't make a difference, the outrage. I mean, it has in the past, and it still can today. I mean, if you look back at like the beginnings of these United States of America, then you could say, okay, the Like take the Boston Tea Party, right? That made a difference. Because they actually caused some action to go forward to break them free, which took many years and a lot more action than just throwing tea in a harbor. Yeah, so
But the outrage doesn't do that.
it
That
did.
would
It
be the
did.
actions. That would be the actions that came with the realization of the outrage, though, right?
Right, but they would have never taken those actions without the outrage.
No, you sometimes you need that outrage to step up. But if you're just constant in the outrage. You know, outrage is a reaction to something. So if you're always out there, if you're constant in the reaction and never in the action,
right,
then you're just adding and being in the noise.
Right, right. Hey, I'd like to welcome a new chatter here that may possibly be doing a new show here on Real Liberty Media. And his name is Redneck Dentist. So, howdy, Redneck. Good to have you here with us today.
am I supposed to say yeehaw or something?
No, I don't know about
is that. That's not a redneck thing you do?
ask Vinny. ask Vinny.
Hey, Vinny, is yeehaw an appropriate response to a redneck?
A redneck happiness, I guess. Yeah. So, we got several, well, I don't know, several. We got a few people that could be classified as rednecks in here, which that's cool. and I think there's a wide range of folks that would be thrown into that redneck category, whether or not they're, cousin lovers. So I have fun with the rednecks.
I'm still trying to figure out what the difference is between a redneck and a hillbilly.
I think
rednecks
again,
are the posh ones, right?
I don't know that there is an actual difference. Maybe the hillbillies live in the hills and the rednecks just live in the country. I don't know. Or maybe it's purely attitude.
Oh.
Yeah.
So a redneck don't get offended if I call them a hillbilly?
Probably not. Even though we probably may not live in the hills. Free Enslaved points out quite correctly here that rednecks, whoa, what the hell is that? I was trying to read something and somebody posted a whole big thing in there. Rednecks are from farming and working outside. That's where the term originally came from. Farmers be out there working, and they're wearing their hat and their shirts, but the back of their neck was exposed to the sun as they're out there working in the fields, and so their necks would get red. So that's where it originally came from. Not that it really applies so much to that anymore, but. You know, they all got the fancy tractors now, so they don't have to stand out there in the sun. yeah. Oh, boy.
I don't know. I think rednecks to me is, it's what they have those in Sweden, too. Sweden is a
well, you got
redneck.
A lot of farmers over there in Sweden, don't you?
Sweden has a lot of rednecks. And by rednecks, I mean people who like moonshine and make their own, make their own alcohol. They,
yeah, well, those are, I think that would be more
shoot animals without licenses.
Those are more in the hillbilly classification.
Well, they have the same haircuts, too.
Is that right? So I wonder if the going way off tangent here from the show topic, but I wonder if the rednecks that have mullets are actually rednecks because they have hair covering their neck.
Ooh, maybe that's a counter.
You know
where
what
the whole thing grew from? Because they didn't want to be seen as dim rednecks.
You know what a mullet is, right?
Yeah, that's the Swedish haircut, I would say.
Business
the rednecks, we call it a Swedish haircut. Over
business in the front, party in the back. Yeah, those are the yeehaws. Oh, the song I used to play at the end of all the Freakers Ball shows, the Black Betty song.
Yeah.
By the band Ram Jam. They had mullets. They were mullet people.
Yeah.
Mullet boys. Yeah.
Mullet boys.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because they live differently, right? And so they are looked up, down upon, right?
I don't look down upon them.
No,
I do. Well,
nicer. The upper, the nicer society, right?
You know those city folk.
The city folk.
they look down on anybody that's not exactly like them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That live in different ways.
That's why I live out here in the middle of nowhere, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to deal with them city folk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those people are plain messed up, judgmental.
But see, that's the thing, though. When we left Copenhagen and I had to find a house, I went with the part of Denmark that is most like Copenhagen.
It's
pretty much people who left Copenhagen are mainly the ones who live up here.
It's hard breaking away from that. You know, I lived in San Diego for 40 years. I mean, I was moved there, when I was 4 years old, and I left when I was 45, or well, almost 45. So, yeah, I was there for 40 years. Now I've been here like 16 years out here in the middle of...
Well, I specifically chose not to look for places south of Copenhagen because that's where you would find the rednecks of Denmark, which aren't really rednecks, but very suburban.
Okay. Well, urban, very rural.
Yeah.
More than
well, how rural? See, Denmark doesn't get all that. No, well, okay, the big mainland of Denmark does, but Zealand, where we live, doesn't really get that rural. It, you know, it just turns suburban.
Okay. So now, do the urbanites piss you off?
No, nothing pisses me off.
Okay. All right, good. That's good.
I'm good up here. Yeah. I'm many years ago. That's the whole don't worry, be happy thing, right?
Yeah, don't worry, be happy.
The whole not being outraged. I'm trying to learn not to react with anger, and be outraged and not react so much. Right? It seems to have been the path for me the last couple of years is to not react. You know, trying to learn not to react, and from that to be in a nice, calm state of mind.
So, do the lockdowns cause you outrage?
They do if I went looking at it, right?
Right. Well, I mean, if you wanted
if I start giving it attention, it would piss me off, mainly because of all the small companies.
Right. Exactly. They're destroying small business everywhere around the world.
Yeah.
And that is a fairly outrageous thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a money grab. To me, this whole COVID thing is mainly a money grab, most of all.
Oh, it's a total money grab. Well, it's a transformation or the Great Reset, as it's been called. And is being called by those that believe they're in charge of everything.
To the big bankers and investors and hedge funds and pharma and tech, right? The tech industry.
Yeah, sure. Oh, well, any industry that is not directly a part of whatever government. Those are the ones they're going after. Those are the ones they're killing. So, I mean, those are the ones they want to get rid of. And also the currencies. That's a big part of it, too. They want to kill all the various global currencies and switch into some kind of global digitalized currency.
But not
a decentralized global currency. They want totally centralized. Yeah.
Well, that's the whole game. It's centralization. You can just boil it all down to one nasty, nasty thing, which is centralization, right?
Sure.
And the answer to everything, life, love, and the universe is decentralization, right? Not 42.
Well, we still don't know the question, so giving the answer.
The answer is decentralization.
But then what is the question?
What is all good? What is the drive toward all good? Decentralization, the breakdown of all power to the lowest of levels, right?
Yeah.
That would be what, if, you know, that would be what I would be an activist.
And to your perspective, what is the lowest level?
Well, it's the government of one.
Right. An individual. The individual.
So as long as when you can drive, if you have to constantly drive force down to that level, because it's going to grow upwards. For some reason, when human beings get together, force and power start centralizing.
Well, you know, and I've noticed this, is that when people get together, they immediately look for a leader.
Yeah, it's insane.
And generally, the people that want to be leaders, that put themselves out there as leaders, are psychopaths. They're horrible people, but they want to be leaders. And people look at them and go, "Oh yeah, this guy, he's standing up there. He's saying the words that I want to hear. We'll make him the leader." Of course.
And since we have that natural instinct, we need to, you know, counter that with a constant movement of decentralization, right?
Well, and getting people to think and act on their own, for themselves.
Yes.
To do what they know is the proper thing, it's almost impossible.
But I think one of the steps, well, it is to me, to my drive toward that cognitive disassociation, right?
Right.
The drive is for me to really try to unhook myself from all those reactions and all those emotions and thoughts.
Right.
That comes with this constant noise that we're living in.
Yeah.
Because everything you just, you know, whenever you get exposed to the, and I'm just going to use the word commercialized world, right? Whenever you're exposed to the commercial world.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be, you know, every time you open a media, every time you interact with something, or every time you go out of your door.
Very. Yeah. Well,
you're just in that noise, and that whole noise is just geared toward making you constantly react and have emotions and have reactions.
And
it's just one big distraction from really learning about what is,
yeah,
and then starting changing it.
See, for me, when I was a little, when I was a little kid, I had a bad temper. I was an angry little bastard, and apparently I was that way since birth. So I've been told. I don't recall those early years, you know, before I was like five or something. But I apparently I was always. They called me sad, but really I was angry. and you know, throughout, you know, my whatever years up to I was like 16 when I left the parents' house, I was pissed off, you know, because they're always telling you shit to do, and I didn't want to do their shit that they said I should do in the way they said I should do it. And so I think that's what it comes down to still to this day. Is I don't like being told what to do. I am not a fan of that. So I never could quite understand how people like could join the military where you are under, you know, whatever idiot's direction, and you have to do things exactly how they say and in their way. So it's like, how could you do that? How could you give up your own free will to that group of people that act that way and treat you that way? But a lot of people, I mean, look, there's millions and millions of people that are in the various militaries.
And you only need that kind of brainwashing and programming if you're going to ask people to do something that is inherently against their own natural ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like killing other people in war.
Right. Yeah, just people, I mean, not even people you know or that you have anything against, but you're told, go shoot that guy.
Yeah.
And what the hell?
Yeah.
And that guy's on the other side. He's sitting out there. He don't want to be out there getting shot at and shooting at people. Well, mostly. There are some that do. I mean, you do have the Hansels of the world, but I don't know for sure, but he certainly pretended to be a gung-ho military boy, which, So people that follow along blindly, they don't make me happy. Do I get outrage over them to some degree? I would have to say I do. I mean, if you consider like the mask wearing situation going on, that would not happen if people thought for themselves and realized that these masks are freaking useless.
That's because of all the noise.
And not just useless, but very harmful.
Yes, but have you seen how much noise all the media and all the platforms everywhere is exposing when it comes to that shit?
Yeah, no,
it's not even possible to sit in a corner of the world no more and just think your own thoughts.
Yeah, no, it's a constant drumming of their whatever constant. Their agenda into everybody's head.
Yes.
Wherever that may be, wherever you get your information from.
The more I live, the more I learn that I personally need my inner to understand the outer. I need to be in some form of tune with my own mind in a calm way for me to digest and derive meaning and learning from whatever is coming from the external world, right? That's the way I function, at least.
Yeah.
And I can't do that if I am constantly reacting and in the noise. If I'm part of the noise that is distracting everybody from just understanding the more basic building blocks of how everything is and what is.
Okay.
There's no doing that if you're in that noise.
Right. It's better to have a wider view than focusing in on the little minutia.
Yes, I've learned about myself that if I don't have that calmness and if I don't go to that inner place to understand and find meaning, then all I'm doing, then I can live an entire life just reacting. Just reacting in the external world and never really understanding anything.
Right. That makes sense. Me.
So to me, one of the biggest eye-openers in understanding how things are was to, you know, tune out the noise and to not go with the outrage.
You going to sleep now? Play little lullabies for Circle.
Well, this is about the time I close everything sort of down for the night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, boy.
I don't think all the noise and the noise here being, you know, the media, watching the news, watching others react to the news, watching people react to others react to the news, it brings a lot of outrage, but it doesn't bring a lot of other shit than outrage, which is more noise on top of more noise on top of more noise. So I'm just about reached the part where I've said that if you're in this outrage generating mode where everything just gets more and more loud and outrageous, right?
Yeah.
You're probably adding
to
the whole
But think about it. For every person that is outraged over some specific topic, there are those on the other side of that topic that are huge boosters of whatever it is you're outraged against.
Yes.
So unless you can get to a point on something where you can flip that, then your outrage is totally useless. The Smashing Pumpkins song, Bullet with Butterfly Wings. You know that song?
No.
Oh, well, there's a line in there. There's a line in there, and it says, "Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage."
Yeah. And maybe if you know what I learned though, Grimner, is right, the more you learn to tune out all that noise and just go with some bliss and some mindfulness, you can start unlocking the other dimensions of this reality, though. And maybe in that, see that there really is no cage, though.
There is no cage. There is no box.
The more
there
outraged
is no
you are, the more cage you're going to get. But if you find into that peacefully, where you can transcend that, there is no cage.
There is no cage. But you build your own cage, and it holds you up just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it holds you into your spot, your position, because you know, once you have the belief that whatever it is that you're so mad about is the bad thing, then you've kind of trapped yourself into that, and that's where it's better to have ideas than beliefs, because you can change an idea.
Yeah,
changing a belief is a much harder task.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. And that's a line from a movie.
If you have some, you know, you can pivot over your values more so than you can over your beliefs and thoughts too, right?
Yeah, well, values are different. I mean, that's something you hold as a personal aspect of yourself,
yes.
Your values, you know. Like, for example, now I could say that there is stuff I get, at least one kind of thing that makes me outraged, and that is when I see people abusing animals, because, you know, the animals have no way to protect themselves against, you know, the evil things that humans do to them. And that, you know, that would go off to other kind of things like children. You know, people abusing children in various ways. That pisses me off. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But
doesn't that come to your core values, though?
It does. It does come to my core values because I think I've been that way too since I was born, or at least since young childhood. Is that when I saw abuse of those that could not defend themselves in any way. That's always gotten to me. And I don't see that changing, and I don't think it should change. I don't think you should just see that kind of crap and accept it. Yeah, you should not accept when somebody is doing horrible things to children or animals or those weaker than them, or the more the more defenseless people out there. That kind of stuff, it irks me. And
I would say that in the government of one, I think values are a core, you know, part of what should govern that.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think you have to justify with words or logic why you don't like animal abuse.
No, it should be quite just, well understood. Just
you know, as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, and I think about that. I understand that I still do eat animals that have been probably abused their whole life before they were slaughtered and packaged and sent to the store. And yeah, I'm okay with that for whatever reason, because I like the meat.
Yeah.
Or the eggs, because, you know, those chickens and those egg farms are, they're not treated well.
There are ways you can get eggs from chickens who had a nice life, aren't
there? No, I do it. I get them from local. I get my meat and eggs here, you know, in Moriarty, which I was not able to do in San Diego. But here in Moriarty, we've got ranches and farms here that they do treat their animals well there. And it's sold here at the local store. So, yeah, but I understand that typically the factory ranching, farming, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I can't get behind that, but I don't want to stand up against it either, you know.
But it's just part of the nasty centralization, though. Optimization, centralization,
right?
You know.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. That's a nasty energy to gear something toward. It's tainted.
Right.
If you're constantly focused on optimizing a system for its maximum capacity, you know, that's tainted.
You're right. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you need, in the noise world, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But as far as things like all the political nonsense that people tend to get excited over, that kind of stuff is meaningless to me. And if you look at it from a logical perspective, you realize that it doesn't matter what these clowns go up there and say, the politicians, because they're lying. They're always lying, and they try and act like, okay, this is this side thinks this and that side thinks that, when both sides think the same. But they get people all fired up and going, you know, thinking, oh, these are conservative thoughts, or those are liberal thoughts, or those are the Green Party or whatever. And really, they don't do anything different. They all get together and agree on all the nastiness they're going to push on all the people. And so you may think you're listening to this guy giving some kind of great speech about all the wonderful stuff he's going to do for you once he gets into power. Of course, if you think about what he's saying and how he's going to be able to do these wonderful things for you is by doing something nasty to somebody else.
But isn't, and politics is even evolving now, or devolving, or however you wish to express it, though, right? And now it's not even look at what I will do for you. Now it's look at how I'm not this and this. Or look at how I won't do that and that. So it's not even about doing something anymore. It's just a constant fight about not being something.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't really listen to them, so I don't know what their point of view is. I mean, I listened to them in the past. I used to be semi-statist, I guess. I mean, I was part of the Libertarian Party there for a while, and you know, people, oh, they're libertarian, they're good. Well, in theory, but they're not. They're no different than the other ones. And way back, 80s, I guess, 90s, 90s, mm-hmm. When Ross Perot, I don't know if you know who he is, but
I heard the name.
Yeah, he came about and he was talking good stuff about stopping the, all of the terrible spending going on, which to me that was wonderful, because if you're stopping the spending means pretty much ending the military-industrial complex, which to me was that was one of my primary goals, is you got to get rid of all this military. You're out there blowing people up for no reason.
Were you an anti-war hippie, Grimnir?
My entire life. even when I was an angry young child, I was like he said, it's against the injustice, and wars are never just. They're never just.
Just senseless mass murders.
Yeah, it's craziness. So I've always been.
I don't know. Wars doesn't even make me outraged no more. They just make me sick. It just makes me sick of everything.
Right. And if you look at something like 9/11, right, which was a hoax. I'm not a hoax, but a false flag. I mean, it wasn't a hoax because they did kill a lot of people on that day. And they used that day where all those people got killed to push through this fascistic Patriot Act here in the U.S. You're familiar with that, I'm sure.
Hey, everyone in the so-called free world was hit by that shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And when was it Bush or some idiot came out the next day and said, 9/11 changes everything. He was not lying about that. It did. It did. That was the beginning of the stripping of all your rights. Well, not the beginning. Yes. Not the beginning, but the acceleration.
And not just in America. One of your allied were, or their, can I say their allies?
Yes, their allies.
Yes, was they're, affected by this.
They're certainly not my allies.
No.
I'm looking at Twitter here as we're talking about this, and there's a quote here by Voltaire. And it says, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities.
Oh, yes.
Which fits right in with what the whole 9/11 crap was, is they made you believe this absurd nonsense that some people with towels on their heads got on airplanes and flew them into buildings when that's not what occurred. In my view, and I have no proof to back it up, but I believe those planes, where there were planes, which they were not all planes, but where there were planes were remotely controlled by those pushing the agenda to push through the Patriot Act and take away all your rights. Now, of course.
And go back to the old, because that, you know, they went back to the old Cold War kind of ways.
Mm-hmm.
It really was a push towards even more of the CIA bullshit.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and they're just
you
part of
thought the. And humanity would be, you know, getting over the whole Mossad CIA thing.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen.
I mean, it's tainted and polluted everything on this planet for the last, what, 70 years?
At least, yeah. Well, since they gave the land to the Jews there and called it Israel, since then. So that whole Mossad thing, you know. And you know, they may have had that before. I just don't know. Before they said, this is our land now, and we're going to do terrible things to all of our neighbors, and you're not going to say anything bad about us, because if you do, then you're an anti-Semite. Which, of course, is also a misnomer, because Jews are not actually Semites. that's a whole different topic.
Yeah.
Oh boy. So there's so much misinformation, misdirection. What was that one show we did? Deceive and Vagal. I forget.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's where it comes down. That's what it comes down to is everything you hear is a massive deception in order to get you to follow along with their whatever they say is proper and true, to get you
and
to.
And they're just making. See, that's the whole thing. They just put out a lot of noise, and they're going more and more emotional with their noise just to drive more and more reaction into humans, right? It's more and more fear and of the most basic emotions in humans that they're playing on right now.
Right.
And it's so much noise, and it's stopping everybody from just sitting down under a tree thinking things over.
Yeah.
And I really think that people need to sit down under a tree and think things over.
People, and I use the word meditate, but that means different things to different people. But there is that old thing. Know thyself.
Turn off the noise and just...
That old thing, know thyself. And if you don't know who you are, then you can easily be steered into being what somebody else wants you to be.
How? Because we sit in this endless flow of information, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you don't digest, if you don't just take time out to just turn it off and digest and I hate to say, go into nature, right? Go into what you were created from and where you were created and just reconnect a little there and digest and just focus on what it is that comes in.
Yeah.
Hey!
I'm not answering it. Somebody from South Dakota. I don't know.
What if it's the world's oldest oak tree calling you to say, hey, come out and hang out with me?
I don't know anybody in South Dakota, so when I get a call from South Dakota, I don't answer it.
Oh, it's from South Dakota?
That's what it said.
They got a lot of horses in South Dakota, don't they?
Well, they got a lot of horses everywhere.
Yeah.
They got a lot of horses in Arizona.
Yeah.
And well, that's a big desert.
I see the little ponies and cows on the fields around here.
Little?
Because they're... Right now, they have these little ponies with a lot of fur that can be outside in the winter, right?
Oh, like foals.
And then they have these little cows with tons of fur, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of cute.
Yeah, and when those little cows grow up, they'll be very tasty.
I know.
You know, I know what I've noticed about our show here.
What?
Is we set a topic before the show.
Yeah.
And we go all over the place. we try and stick to it, but
it doesn't work. Exactly.
No, I mean because it branches out because you know why?
Why?
It's all connected.
It's all. To the cows of the field. Yeah. When was the last time you said hi to a cow, Grimmy?
I can't. When I was a teenager, maybe. When I was a teenager working on a ranch in Utah, and I'd say hi to the cows all the time. Because I'd be the one out there, you know, the one. Well, there's various groups of cows. There was those in the large. Grassy area that didn't need feeding, but there was those other cows that were in the smaller corral that they did need feeding, and I'd feed those cows every morning and every afternoon. So I'd say hi to those cows.
Yeah, I like saying hi to the cows. There's just something neat about cows, right?
Yeah, and I'd say hi to the hogs and the pigs, but I never said hi to the chickens because the chickens were just stupid.
my dog hurts the chickens. Sometimes we go by, there are two houses not so far from here who both have chickens.
Yeah.
And once in a while they run loops on the little street down there, right? And I've noticed Hannah will hurt them.
Okay. What kind of dog is Hannah? What kind of dog is she?
But she's a mixed dog, but she also has Australian sheepdog. And a Jack Russell Terrier and a Beagle and a Basset dog.
A real mutt.
Yeah, she But then she starts hurting the chickens. Just, you know, clumping them together and getting them over where their house is.
Yeah.
That's so weird. But chickens are fun, though.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was a teenager, I used to go out and work out in Utah. Well, a few summers I did, not every summer, but a few summers I went out to this big ranch. It was owned by these guys that have a hunting lodge that my stepfather used to go out there and hunt every year. And so one year, we were taking a summer vacation, driving vacation out to that ranch. And my mom and my stepdad said, "Hey, how would you like to stay out here for the rest of the summer?" Which they were just trying to get rid of me.
Yeah.
They didn't want me at home.
They didn't want you at home. Well, if you were
But to me, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, "Yep, I'm staying. I ain't no doubt about it. Well, you're gonna have to work hard. I don't mind. I don't have to be with you guys. I'm fine out here." I would work from before sunup till after sundown every day, doing all kinds of ranch stuff that I learned a lot working out there. Putting laying down the irrigation pipes and building fences, putting up barbed wire, herding the cows with the horses, learning how to ride the horses and all kinds of stuff. There was, some country Mormon girls out there.
really, the whole garden thing grew on me. It's almost addictive. Well, not almost. It is addictive. Because I spent 30-something years in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Not doing gardening.
Right.
Well, I did some guerrilla gardening, but that was pretty much just plant, rate, and let it be, right?
Right, sure.
You didn't go back to that whole thing. Yeah, you just grew it and let it,
Right. Duh is asking if I got paid. No, I did not get paid. But we had a lot of good food, man. They talk about your fresh food there. I'd go out there to the chicken coop, get the fresh chickens. We'd take a hog every now and then. Down to the slaughterhouse, and you'd have fresh bacon and pork chops and all. I mean, fresh, yeah, fresh. And the cattle, of course, good steaks and stuff like that. So, I mean, just being out there in the country, it was worth it to me. And like I said, I learned a lot out there. Working working the land and such like that. And I saw somebody, who was it, talking about a rattlesnake the other day here. One time I'm out there, I'm hauling hay. It was already baled, and so I'd pick up the bales and throw them up on the trailer, and somebody up there would stack them. Anyway, this one time I pick up this bale, and what's underneath? A big ass rattler. I tossed that bale right back down on the ground, right on top of that snake. It was like, whoa! But I dealt with a lot of rattlesnakes out there. There was some ruins on this Indian reservation that was part of the rented ranch, I guess you could say, leased ranch. And so we were wandering around out there, and there's this broken down old bunkhouse or whatever. And there's rattlesnakes. I was right in the middle of all these freaking rattlesnakes. They were like, "All right, we need to back the hell out of here real slow like." Yeah, that was like rattlesnake heaven there. Anyway, we're out of time, and I'm rambling on about memories.
Well, I think we had a happy show.
Yeah, happy enough. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
And I did not get outraged at all.
Me neither. Not even close.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully on Wednesday, myself and the Moose Girl will be we'll be on at 8 p.m. Eastern doing our new show, Free Your Mind. And we'll be a little esoteric on that program. A little extremely esoteric if I have my way. Moose Girl, she's not as quite out there as I am, but we'll see how it goes. And then on Friday, Vinny's new program, or revived program, American Dissonance, which Pondergander, American Dissonance, it ties back together. And then Sunday is me and the Blues at noon Eastern, followed by Hal Anthony, followed by Gary L. and Gigi's Boo. So
the countdown.
And then, yeah, there's always the stuff going on in the Auto DJ, so you can listen to the shows going way back. Well, about a year and a half ago.
There's always old freakers.
Old freakers. And, yeah, there's always the podcast and all that up there on the website if you want to go that way. There's all kinds of ways to go to listen to this stuff that we talk about.
I still miss the freakers. I don't easily adjust.
Yeah, well, freakers, you know, that was 13 years of that show, man. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Yeah, have a nice one. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Have a great one.
Yeah, go hug a tree, right? And send Grimnir money.
Yeah, send me money. Oh, yeah, it is still donation month, although we have exceeded our donation goal. So, very much thanks to all of those who donated so far. And if you want to, we still got, 8 days, 7 days left in this month? So, So donate freely.
Or plums. Just send Grimnir plums.
No.
Don't you take plums?
I don't take produce through the mail.
Wow, you're a picky fucker.
You get produce through the mail? Come on.
Send Grimnir plums.
Right. I really like your peaches. Want to shake your tree. yeah. All right. That's it. We're done. Peace.
Have a good one, everybody, and go for Free Your Mind on Wednesday.
Yeah. All right. Talk to y'all later. Peace.